having studied the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 12, we learned how to truly be happy if we apply the study to our lives in obeying the gospel, first of all, seeing that we have a need for God to direct our steps and not we ourselves, and then to have the mind of Christ, and of course, be prepared for persecution which will come. So, as we think about having true happiness, here's a question for us to answer. How can we as Christians express our joy, our happiness, in today's world with all the things going on and the concerns we may have, a lot of different circumstances that we could be in ourselves? Well, notice the psalmist Asaph in Psalm 73, he almost slipped because he was envious of the prosperity of the wicked. This is verses 2 and 3 of Psalm 73. That is, until he went into the sanctuary of God, and then he realized their end would be one of destruction by God, verses 17 and 18. So, as we go to the book of Philippians, this is Paul's inspired letter, of course, the Apostle Paul we're speaking of, a prisoner in Rome for being a proclaimer of the truth. And so we often refer to this epistle that Paul penned by inspiration, the epistle of joy. And as we note how the Apostle Paul expressed his joy, even though he's a prisoner, then we can apply that and answer the question for ourselves, how can I, as a Christian, express my joy in today's world? So we want to begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. Yes, and those initials, PFE, those initials can remind us what we should be doing every day, preparing for eternity. What's more important than that? Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, right here in Martinsville, as we come together in our Bible classes. Well, yes, sir, we're studying God's precious Word. And then as we assemble together in the worship service, we want to strive to worship God in accordance to the New Testament pattern, but also having a proper attitude. That would be in spirit. Following the New Testament pattern is in truth, as John pointed out by inspiration in John 4, 24. Now, something we want to mention. If you would like to have a Bible study where we sit down together and open up God's Word, we love to have those opportunities, and we'll set that up at your convenience. We also have Bible correspondence courses available. Of course, they're free. And if you have Bible questions or comments, positive or negative, here's our address again, 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. And you'll find our past radio sermons going back a number of years, our bulletins with good articles as well, and news about the congregation. Now, let's get into our study this morning. How can we as Christians express our joy in today's world? And we have, of course, true happiness by being a Christian, and certainly the inward joy that we experience needs to be expressed. So as we go to Philippians, let me mention this first. If you study Acts chapter 16, you'll see as, well, go down to verse 12, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. Well, while Paul was there, he met with Lydia, a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira. And she's worshiping God along the riverside, and the ladies that were with her. And so, of course, you see Paul teaching the doctrine of Christ. The Lord opened her heart through the word that Paul was speaking, the things which were spoken of Paul, verse 14. So what happened? She was baptized and her household, and she then besought us, saying, "If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house." Excuse me. "Come into my house and abide there." And she constrained us. So that was one conversion there in Philippi. Then we have Paul and Silas being put in prison because a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Well, the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. When her master saw that the hope of their gain was gone, they caught Paul and Silas, drew them into the marketplace, unto the rulers, brought them unto the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes, commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. So, then we have, of course, the conversion of the Philippian jailer and his household. As you see, at midnight, while Paul and Silas are praying, they're singing praises unto God. Of course, the prisoners heard them. That's verse 25. Well, there was a great earthquake here in verse 26. The foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosened. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. So Paul cries out with a loud voice, verse 28, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." He called for a light, sprang in, and came trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Excellent question, is it not? And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." Well, that wasn't all he had to do to be just believed to be saved. Of course not. You see, that's a part put for the whole. Notice 32 now. "And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes." He repented, did he not? "And was baptized, he and all his straightway." They didn't wait till in the morning. No, sir. Late at night, didn't matter. "He was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house." So here's another conversion. Perhaps the damsel that had the spirit of divination removed, perhaps she became a child of God as well. But the point is, here you have the beginning of the Church of Christ in Philippi. So now we're going to the inspired letter the Apostle Paul is writing to that congregation there in Philippi. And we're going to see how Paul expressed his joy, yes, despite being a prisoner. So let's go to chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you always in every prayer of mine, for you all making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto now. What do we see there? We see that Paul expressed his joy for the fellowship of his brethren, and by his prayer request, yes, for them. And so this is what we're seeing with the question we're asking: how can we express our joy in today's world? Well, this is one way to do it: to appreciate the fellowship of our brethren. Despite being in Rome, Paul still had a close relationship with his brethren in Philippi, did he not? What does the term fellowship mean? Joint participation? Sharing in common? Well, not only did the Philippi congregation share a close common bond in Christ with Paul, but they helped with the spread of the gospel by their financial support and their prayers as well. Now, chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity. Paul is giving them a great commendation for their giving. They're helping spread the gospel. And as we read there in Acts chapter 16, you can see that they certainly were bonded together as Paul taught them the gospel, and the appreciation they had to him is shown, is it not? But more importantly, their giving in order to glorify God. And certainly that is the main thrust. 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5, you can see again how Paul is commending these brethren at Philippi. Let's go ahead and read that. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. Moreover, brethren, we do you wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Well, Philippi is in Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction and in the, notice, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty, that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Now that speaks volumes. That's by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that Paul is penning these words. Yes, the brethren there at Philippi had a special place in Paul's heart, did they not? Well, I think it would be good for us to notice how Paul prayed for his brethren throughout the brotherhood, not only for the church of Christ at Philippi, but also for all the brethren in the church of Christ. So let's begin now with the congregations Paul was praying for. Romans 1:9, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Now, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. Again, these are congregations. The Church of Christ at Corinth, the Church of Christ at Ephesus. Notice, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. The Church of Christ at Colossae, Colossians 1, 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. And the Church of Christ at Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. 2 Thessalonians 1, 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. Now notice Paul sending an inspired letter to an evangelist by the name of Timothy. 2 Timothy 1:3, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Philemon, remember the church that met at Philemon's home? Philemon, verse 4, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. Paul remembered a lot of folks and a lot of congregations, did he not? You see, the power of prayer was appreciated by the Apostle Paul, and we need to follow suit. So, we can express our joy as Christians by desiring to be together, not only every time the church comes together, but at other times as well. We should be praying for one another and taking joy in knowing that many prayers are being offered in our own behalf. That is greatly appreciated, is it not? To know that brethren are praying for me and praying for you if you're faithful in the Lord's church. If you become unfaithful, certainly they're praying that you have an opportunity to repent and return and be faithful again. And if you're not in the church, we're praying, of course, for your opportunity to learn the truth and obey it. Yes, sir. We need to pray for the lost. We pray for our enemies. Now let's go on. This would be Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Paul expressed his joy regardless of his outward circumstances. Yes, sir. Paul not only learned how to be content in whatever situation he found himself, but he learned how to express his joy as well. First of all, by putting his trust where? In God. That's where it starts. Without trusting God, how are we going to be able to express our joy in any outward circumstance we may find ourselves in? Now, 2 Corinthians 7, 4 and 5, this would be a good study for us. Notice, great is my boldness of speech toward you, great is my glorying of you, I'm filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. Did we get that? Let me read that again. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. For when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Lots of things going on that caused a great concern for the Apostle Paul and other brethren, of course, in that area. Well, we can conclude Paul practiced what he preached. 1 Timothy 6:8, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. That's right. We don't want to be murmurers, complainers. Who wants to be around somebody that's always complaining? Well, remember what our study revealed about those that were unfaithful in Israel as they sent out 12 spies to the land of promise, and 10 came back with an evil report. And then as they wandered in the wilderness 40 years, what did they do? Murmured and complained. Joshua and Caleb, Moses and Aaron were the exceptions. Now, again, here's the lesson for us today. We can express our joy as Christians by being content regardless of our outward circumstances with of course, God's help. Now let's go back to chapter 4 and let's read verses 11, which we just read, along with 12. And this is chapter 4, again, verses 11 and 12. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be filled, be full, and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. So Paul had confidence. Here's how he was able to have this confidence, where he could express his joy of being content regardless of his outward circumstances. With God's help. Verse 13, here it is. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's the key, isn't it? Of course it is. That's how we can have confidence. We can be content regardless of our circumstances. We can express our joy even in difficult circumstances. That's right, because through Christ, we can do all things, and we are strengthened, yes, by it. Well, notice Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. That's right. God's not going to leave us. What's the problem? We can leave God. We can go back into the world. And so many, sad to say, do just that. And we need to get them back as best we can. Of course, restore such a one as we want to get them back to the fold, the lost sheep that have wandered off. Now, with the time left, let's answer some questions as our time is drawing nigh, and we'll want to continue our study, Lord willing, next week. But again, we're answering the question, how can we as Christians express our joy in today's world with all the problems and immorality and things that are going on, and no doubt individual health problems that we may have, loss of loved ones and so forth, persecutions. Let's answer these questions. First of all, do I really trust God? Because God cannot lie. And as long as I am confident of being a faithful Christian in the Lord's body, regardless of what happens to me, I'm trusting God. I'm not going to leave this body of Christ for anything or anyone, because I know salvation is only in Christ, and I'm trusting God. So we need to really trust God, first of all. Next, how do I respond to suffering? Well, in Acts 5, verse 41, what did the apostles do after they were beaten? They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for Christ. And they went on and preached and teached the beautiful kingdom of God, the Church of Christ. They taught the truth, the doctrine of Christ. Now, here's another question. How do I handle disappointments? Do I get all upset and steam comes out my ears and all those things we could mention? Or do I realize this is an opportunity to express my joy of being a faithful Christian, handling disappointments as they come, and growing by it? Now, another question. Am I easily offended? Am I easily offended when someone says something that's out of line? Why not pray for them? Let them know, of course, if we're offended. That's certainly the scriptural thing to do. Give them the opportunity to correct it. Maybe they didn't realize what they said was so offensive. But we don't want to be easily offended. We don't want to wear our feelings on our sleeves, as the expression goes. And that helps us to see where we're at in being able to express our joy. And so now, as we come to our time of extending the invitation, again, we'll put a peg here and pick back up, Lord willing, next week of our study in the book of Philippians, Paul's inspired letter to the Church of Christ at Philippi. First of all, I need to hear the truth. If I'm going to become a child of God, I've got to know what God's will is. I've got to study from His inspired word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. Now the next step is to believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. He's the Savior of the world as they respond to His gospel. His blood cleanses us from all our sins when we submit to the gospel of Christ. So I must believe that. Except ye believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins, John 8:24. Now that I believe Jesus is the Christ, I should be motivated, ready to repent, to make a change of wills. I'm no longer going to do my will. I'm going to do the will of God. I'm going to get out of a sinful life, go in a new direction, and I'll have the best life possible. I tell you, next, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish, Luke 13:3-5. Having repented, now I'm ready to make the good confession unto salvation, stating I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, as the Ethiopian eunuch did before he was baptized in Acts chapter 8, Matthew 10:33-34, and Romans 10:9-10, we must make the good confession unto salvation. Here's what puts us into contact with the precious blood of Christ: being buried underwater, baptism, for the remission of sins, for the forgiveness of sins, Acts 2:38. Thus, I'm in a new birth as I come up out of the water to walk in a newness of life, and the Lord adds me to His body, the true church of Christ. And we thank you so much for listening today.